Today's Torah portion is called Parshas Re'eh, and we also have the Shabbos, a special Shabbos. It's called Shabbos Mevarchim, Shabbos that we bless the upcoming month of Elul, which is going to be starting at the end of the week. First day of Elul is Friday, August 18th. Rosh Chodesh is 2 days, the beginning of the month, the 17th and the 18th. But Rosh Chodesh Elul is a very special time. It's the beginning of the preparation for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So believe it or not, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is in about 5 weeks. And exactly 5 weeks, matter of fact. And what happens is that this remembers the time that Moshe was on the mountain receiving the second set of luchos, the second set of tablets. The Torah tells us that when we receive the first set of luchos, the first set of tablets, Moshe came down from the mountain as he broke the luchos, broke the tablets. And of course, Hashem was angry at the Jews. Moshe prayed for another 40 days. Hashem said, I'll forgive you. I'll bring you the new tablets. And Moshe went up on the mountain. On the first day of the month of Elul, which the first day is this coming Friday, a week from today. And for the next 40 days, Hashem taught Moshe many, many, many more concepts in Torah, much, much more than Hashem had given Moshe initially. And Moshe, of course, came down at the end of that 40-day period with the second brand new set of tablets, the Luchos Shnios, the second set of tablets, the whole tablets. So the Gemara tells us that therefore, from that point forward, this 40 days that Moshe was on the mountain from the beginning of the month of Elul until Yom Kippur, because that's what happens, count 40 days, and it finishes in Yom Kippur. Moshe had come down on Yom Kippur with the second set of tablets, which again is why we celebrate Yom Kippur on that day, the day as a day of forgiveness. That's a day we got tangible proof in the form of the new tablets that Hashem had forgiven us. So those 40 days, which is again from the beginning of Elul until Yom Kippur, are days of rachamim, days of mercy. And the month of Elul is called Chodesh HaRachamim, the month of mercy. It is considered a very special time. It is considered a time when the 13 attributes of mercy, which are called in Hebrew the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim, the 13 attributes of mercy, which Kabbalistically correspond to energy that comes from before the world of Atzilos, higher than the four stages. It's energy that can fix any issues that are in the pipeline. Anything that's wrong with the transmission of energy from level to level because of our actions, because we've done stuff. Hashem has this laser beam focus that comes from higher than this healing light, the healing energy that comes from higher than the problem, than where the problem is. The problem is in the transmission in the four stages of the worlds of Atzilus, Bri, Yetzirah, Asiya. Hashem gives energy from the 13 attributes of mercy level, which is higher than that, and therefore it completely eradicates any issue. It fixes any blemishes. It closes any holes, any gaps. It makes up in a yet greater measure for the energy that we have lost based on our misdeeds, and it therefore is considered to be an extremely powerful and time of Rachem timers. That is the beginning of the month of Elul coming up, and therefore the time of Elul is a time of Teshuvah, because that is the meaning of Teshuvah. Parshas Re'eh is the fourth portion in the book of Devarim, and it continues Moshe's soliloquy, Moshe's speech to the Jewish people before he is about to pass away. The entire book of Devarim is one long speech that Moshe gave to the Jews over the 5 weeks before he was about to pass away, reminding the Jewish people, reminding his flock, his sheep, us about our obligations. And also it's one big pep talk. So let's talk about the installment of the pep talk, of Moshe's pep talk in this week's Parsha Re'eh. And the Parsha, the Torah opens up and says as follows, Re'eh, take a look, Moshe says. See, Anochi nosein lifneichem hayom. I'm placing before you today, beracha uklala, a blessing and a curse. I'm giving you a choice. I'm giving you a blessing or a curse. And he goes on and he says, es habracha, the blessing is, asher tishmu, that you will listen. He doesn't say if you will listen. He says, the blessing, I'm sure, I have confidence in you. Asher tishmu, that you will listen. El mitzvos Hashem alokeichem, to the mitzvos of Hashem. Asher anochi mitzaveh eschem hayom, that I am commanding you today. Ve'aklala, the curse will be, im lo tishmu, if, so here he says, if, this is a comment that the Kli Yakar makes, if, lo tishmu, if you won't listen, el mitzvos Hashem alokeichem, to the mitzvos of Hashem, visartem min haderech, and you will stray, you will go off the path that Hashem is commanding you to go on, and you will worship other gods, asher lo yadatem, that you're not familiar with, that it's not your people. So that's the initial paragraph. In the Sefer Torah, this actually is a paragraph, because in the Torah scroll, there are no punctuation. There is no, if you ever looked inside a Torah scroll, and at the end of every davening, of every Torah reading, the custom, both by the Sephardim and the Ashkenazim, Sephardim do it before, Ashkenazim do it after Torah reading, is to hold up the Torah and to turn it around so that everybody can see what the script of the Torah looks like. So if you ever looked inside the Torah, you'll see that there is no punctuation, there's no commas, there's no periods, no question marks, no exclamation marks, no punctuation. The only punctuation that there is of any sort is paragraphs. There are paragraphs. And this is the conclusion of a paragraph. So it tells you that this is a thought. Three sentences that I just read for you, is a complete thought. So let's talk a little bit about what is in this thought. Again, what is Moshe saying? See, I am placing before you a blessing and curse. The blessing will be that you will listen to the words of Hashem that you're being commanded, and the curse will be if you will not listen and you will stray and you will follow other gods that are not your gods, that you don't know about, that have no knowledge of you, or you have no knowledge of them, fake stuff. That's the thought. So I want to bring to you a few comments from the classical commentators. We'll start with a commentator called Rabbeinu Bachya, lived in the 1200s. And it says as follows. We find that there is in the Torah a very big push against, he calls it laziness, but I would say it's not just laziness, it's hesitation. There is something called lazy, and there's something called hesitation, the inability to move forward. And he quotes from the book of Mishlei, the book of Proverbs, and he says as follows. In the book of Mishlei, which was written by Shlomo Melech, King Solomon, he tells us, Shlomo Melech, that there are certain things that when a person doesn't do them in the right time, you're held back by seemingly proper and correct justifications and thoughts. All terrible things happen, bad things happen. For example, he says, Shlomo Melech tells us, that if a person is lazy and doesn't plow and plant in the wintertime, then when it comes summertime, you have nothing to eat. And the book of Proverbs is like that. It's talking about things that are easily understood. If a person doesn't fix his roof when it's sunny outside, or a person doesn't fix a beam in the house when there's a small problem, then comes a bigger problem, and eventually you have to spend more money on construction, or you have a bigger problem when it starts to rain. So there is this idea that a person has to be not hesitating, not lazy. And again, the word is atze, lazy, but it doesn't just mean lazy. It means a person that's paralyzed in place and is held back by all kinds of different issues, but can't move forward. So he says there is a person who is lazy, who is atzel begufo. He's lazy in when it comes to physical things. Doesn't fix his roof, doesn't plant and plow, doesn't go to work, doesn't do his homework, doesn't wake up in the morning, doesn't in the physical world. But then there are people who are lazy benafsho. That means that when it comes to spiritual things, they say all kinds of reasons. I can't do it. It's not for me. I'm not good enough. I don't have the ability. All kinds of same things. Maybe tomorrow, today is not exactly right. This is, he says, is exactly the same problem. It comes from the same issue where the person doesn't recognize the burning importance. Number one, the burning importance of what it is that you're pushing off. Number two, the fact that if you don't do it now, you're actually going to lose. You're actually going to be in a position where you're worse off. And number three, the fact that if you just start to do the job, you actually have the capacity inside of yourself. And therefore, and this is to quote the words of the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the author of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe says, Re'ei anochi nosein lifneichem ayom, see, I'm putting before you today. And the Alter Rebbe asked the question, why does it say lifneichem, before you? Why doesn't it say lachem, which means to you? See, I'm giving you. And the Alter Rebbe explains that each of us have deep inside of us lots of energy. Each of us have the capacity to do amazing things. And a person should recognize that in the language of Kabbalah and Chassidus, the Alter Rebbe says, the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the name of Hashem is inside of us. Hashem puts his energy inside of us. And it's Lifneichem, the Alter Rebbe translates this from the word Pnimiyut, which means our inner core, our reality is spirituality. Our reality is not the Mishigas that's happening in our head in the moment. And this is same concept that Rabbeinu Bachi is talking about. Rabbeinu Bachi was very, very mystical, very Kabbalistic, great Kabbalist, hundreds of years before the Alter Rebbe, obviously, but great, great Kabbalist. Most of his writings, he always ties it into Kabbalah, into the Jewish mystical perspective. Same idea. He says, a person should take a look at their life and say, whether it's going to be bracha, which means blessing, or klala, or curse, that depends on me. That doesn't depend on anything else except for me. Rabbeinu Bachi goes on and he says, beautiful thought. He says, take a look. There are spiritual creations called angels. The angels understand spirituality. The angels praise Hashem on very high levels. The angels, however, have no free choice. They do not have the option to do that. That's the way Hashem created them. So it's like saying, my car is such a powerful, so it loves me so much. Every time I press on the accelerator, my car goes forward. Every time I press on the brake, my car stops. My car is loyal to me. That's a silly statement. Your car is a machine. It was programmed. You step on the accelerator, it goes fast. You step on the brake, it stops. If it's broken, if the machine is broken, it's because you didn't fix it. It's because something's wrong. So Hashem says the same thing about his angels. The angels are created to worship Hashem. The angels are created to say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem, you're the greatest. Then he says, then there are animals. Hashem created animals too. But animals don't understand. Animals have nature. Animals have instinct. The instinct of an animal is to do the right thing. The instinct of an animal is to be loyal. To praise Hashem, also, the Medrash tells us how each animal with their different methods of speech, and even the trees, and even the birds, and even the bees, and everything in creation, all praises Hashem. But that's instinctive. Again, it's not from their choice, it's their instinct. They don't have the choice to do differently. Humans, Rabbeinu Bachi says, are a meld, are a combination of the Elyonim, the creatures that are in the upper worlds, and the tachtonim, the creatures that are in the lower worlds. That means we have understanding, the understanding of the angels. We have instinct, the instinct of the animal world, of the natural world. But Hashem says, I am creating you in such a way that I'm putting understanding and instinct in you, so you're greater than the animals, greater than the angels, but I'm also giving you klala. I'm also giving you the choice. Well, I shouldn't say klala. I should say the language of the Chumash. I'm giving you the choice. I'm giving you the choice whether you will choose bracha or klala. Alter Rebbe says, bracha, and this is again from the Alter Rebbe, bracha means taking something that's inside of you already and revealing it and bringing it out. It's different, the Alter Rebbe says, between the word tefillah, which means a prayer, and a bracha, which means a blessing. Tefillah means when we pray to Hashem, we ask for new stuff, stuff that's not in our pipeline, not in our energy pipeline. When we say a bracha, or we say we have bracha, it means it's inside of us already. This ties in exactly the same thought Alter Rebbe said a moment before in the same discourse about lifnechem, that it means your pnimius. See, I'm giving you inside of yourself. So Hashem is telling us, both Rabbeinu Bachya, Alter Rebbe, all the classic commentaries explaining the same concept. We have this capacity inside of ourselves, whether we should use our seichel, our understanding, which is as great as the angels, it could be if we apply ourselves, if we're not lazy, in the words of Rabbeinu Bachya, if we apply ourselves, or it could be instinctive, if we're not on that level of great understanding, but it's still inside of ourselves. Or we could choose to use both our understanding and our instinct in a bad and a negative way, to go on paths, in the language of the Chumash, Elohim Achirim Asher Lo Yedatem, to strange and foreign gods that's not good for you, that you don't know, that's not your way, that's not your thing. It's not your pnimius. It's not your inner essence. So it's like we're talking to our kids. And we say to our kids, I want you to be honest. I want you to be good. I want you to be polite. Why should you be honest? The kid says, why? The other kid is not doing it. The other family is not doing it. And they're fine. They're popular. They're this, they're that. So you say, I know, but by us, we don't act that way. We don't do this. In our family, we don't do this. This is not us. This is not who my grandfather was, not who my grandmother was, not who you are, not who I'm raised, not who I am, not who is. It's not us. Hashem is saying the same thing to us. Moshe is saying the same thing to us in the language of the Chumash, which, of course, Hashem's words put into Moshe's mouth, the Gemara tells us. And that is, your pnimius, your lifneichem, is bracha. Your lifneichem is to use the energies that Hashem has given you, the Jewish people. You're different than everybody else. Elohim Acherim Asher Lo Yedatem. The other gods, the other methodologies, the other mishigas, the craziness that's happening in the world around us today, which is crazier than it's ever been. I don't have to tell you, everybody sees this. You know, all you got to do is just open up the radio. You know, look at your cell phone. It's crazy like nobody's business. So this is Asher Lo Yedatem. This is not us. We don't act this way, Moshe is telling the Jewish people. Your pnimius, your inner essence, is connection to Hashem. Your interactions is Anochi. And the commentators again make the comment that why did it say Re'e Anochi? The word Anochi, it could have said Ani. In Hebrew, the word is Ani, and Moshe uses Ani, which means I, instead of Anochi, which is Gemara actually says Lashon Mitzri, is some kind of Egyptian idiom, whether it's actually Egyptian or just the way the Jews used to speak in Egypt. It's an old-fashioned way of saying Ani. Why say Anochi? So they say because Anochi means the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments is from the Kli Yakar. The Ten Commandments is all the basis of the entire Torah is in the word Anochi. The Ten Commandments are the basis for all the 613 mitzvahs. The first word of the Ten Commandments, Anochi, is the basis for all the Ten Commandments. So it turns out that Anochi, which means the Jewish connection with Hashem, which is unshakable, that's what Anochi means. It means the inner essence of the Jew. You take a look, and a person tells himself, how can I do this? What connection do I have to being this kind of person? And a Jew who's keeping Torah and mitzvahs, and this is not me, and it's everybody, everything's around the, or even a Jew who's raised religiously, Why should I be the more religious? It's enough to coast. It's enough. So the Torah says that's not the real you. The real Anochi, the real you, is the bracha, which means taking inside what Hashem put inside of you, this power, this ability to be as great as the angels and as loyal as the animals, as deeply understanding of Torah and our spiritual mission as the angels are, as loyal and as amazingly emotional. That doesn't mean that angels aren't emotional, but animals are clearly more emotional. So we can have the fire. And in fact, the angels are therefore, compared to animals, are called chayos hakodesh, holy animals, the angels are called, because they have this burning emotion, burning love for Hashem. So we have the ability to be greater than both of them by choosing. Angels and animals do not choose again. So it's wonderful. It's amazing what they're doing, but they're machines. We can choose and we can be great. And Moshe is telling us, therefore, this week's installment of his pep talk, you guys are amazing. You have amazing, amazing spiritual energy that Hashem has implanted inside each and every one of you. All you got to do is access it, is recognize that you're not like everybody else. You are created differently. Therefore, you should act differently. You have different possibilities, different capabilities. And all you got to do is don't be lazy. Again, lazy is not the right translation. Don't hesitate. Don't say, maybe I can't do it because of this reason. If we don't hesitate, if we seize the moment, we jump on the opportunity and we say, it doesn't matter whether I think I can do it or not, I'm going to do it. And then one person makes all the difference. And just to conclude, Rashi actually explains to us that the bracha uklala that we are talking about here is not just a general pep talk statement, bracha uklala. It is referring, Rashi says, to a specific event that was going to happen as soon as the Jews entered the land of Israel. They had to gather on two mountains near the city of Jericho, city of Jericho. One mountain was called the mountain of Gerizim, the other called the mountain of Ebal. That was the name of the two mountains, Gerizim and Ebal. And at that point, and we in fact read that this is what the Jews did in the book of Joshua, the book of Yoshua, as soon as they came into Israel, only a few months later, month or two later, because this is right before Moshe passes away. Moshe passed away on the 7th of Adar, and they came into Israel on the 10th of Nisan. So it's a couple of months later that they actually come, after the story of this week's Parsha, that they come into Israel and they gather on these two mountains. And on those two mountains, the Torah tells us, there was a whole ceremony where the Jews accepted the Torah in a language of bracha and klala, that you should be blessed if you keep the Torah and cursed, unfortunately, if you don't keep the Torah. But the Torah tells us that at that point, every Jew became responsible for his fellow Jew. So this is the layer on top of layer on top of layers, Moshe is telling us here. Rashi explains to us, therefore, not only do you have the capacity, the capability, the inner fortitude, the inner strength of being greater than the angels, greater, more loving than the animals to spirituality, to the good path, but you also have the capacity to change your fellow, to change your friend. So, boy, are you guys powerful, Moshe says, because that's what happened at Har Gerizim and Har Ebal. The Jews accepted a covenant, a promise, a mission. We entered into a covenant with Hashem, and we agreed to be responsible for each other. And we agreed to look out for each other, to be not only friends, not only acquaintances, not only brothers and sisters, but actually guardians of our fellow Jews and each and responsible for our fellow Jew. So Moshe, therefore, is telling us, you have bracha in lifneichem. You have in your pnimius, in your inner core, you guys have amazing energy for yourself and also the capacity to change the world, the capacity to influence, to educate, to uplift. Extremely powerful stuff. And that's why this parsha basically is always read before the month of Elul also. And that is the parsha that tells us that we have the ability to have the 13th attribute, the energy of Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim, 13th attribute of mercy, revealed in our ordinary life, not in a Shabbos way. And this is the whole discussion I'm not going to get into right now. Well, the Alter Rebbe explains in another discourse if the energy of the month of Elul is so great, why is it that it's not a holiday, that it's not like a Yom Kippur the whole 40 days? And the Alter Rebbe explains, because that energy is not meant to be saved for like your fancy dishes for fancy guests and fancy occasions. It's meant to be used. It's meant to be applied. It's meant to be actually distributed throughout your ordinary life. And we have this capacity. We can take the highest and most deepest, the most powerful connection to Hashem and make a real difference in our everyday lives, not just on Yom Kippur when we go to shul and Rosh Hashanah and special occasions. We can actually change the world around us. And we just have to be not hesitating. We have to be confident in this promise that Moshe is giving us, and therefore accessing it. And we take a step, we take a step, we take a step. And we realize all of a sudden, not only do we change ourselves, we change our surroundings, we change our community, and we have changed. In the language of Rambam, a person does one mitzvah, you change the entire world, and you bring Mashiach.